We do have some active townships, so we're consolidating from 9 down to 4. I'm aware of Buckeye Township's one that's very, very active, and they have a schoolyard or schoolhouse out there that they maintain in that township.
Ellis County is set to dissolve some of its townships. Hayes Post reporter Jonathan Zweigert speaks with Commissioner Michael Burgess about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Yeah, lots going on. We wanted to chat about a couple of things that have happened this month. We'll start yesterday with the meeting there. Yesterday morning, and I know that you're not present at the meeting, but just one agenda item yesterday with the discussion of some townships, and so we wanted to talk a little bit about kind of some changes being made to townships in Ellis County, and this has been a years-long process that now county clerk and election official Bobby Dreiling has went through, and so the decision was made to take the process forward of trimming the number of townships in Ellis County. And I guess we'll start with just that process. It is the first step in a process.
Yeah, it's kind of the first step. This has been going, for the last couple of years, Bobby's been doing a good job of working through the process and the resolutions to get to the point that we came to yesterday. I was not there, but I would have also voted in favor of it as the other two commissioners did. We have 9 townships currently, and so, and this kind of also is a shout out to previous commissioners over the last couple of years that have kind of worked through this process of getting it down to 4 townships. It's just from Bobby's standpoint, on an election standpoint, each township has an election, and you vote. If you live within that township, you vote for a chair and a vice chair and a treasurer, and the township has the ability to raise property tax, a mill, put out a budget and do certain things. But most of the townships in Ellis County are very inactive.
Right.
They didn't elect any positions and they don't raise any mill. So they have a little bit of funding just to mail out the budget, which their budget would be zero.
Right.
And so, there really isn't much that the townships do at this point. It's an interesting history, though. If you go back 80 some years, and I don't know exactly, but townships used to be a much more influential part of your county government life as an individual. If you lived out in the county, and we've had other townships, we have 9 now. I think it was 75, 71, somewhere in there. They consolidated some townships at that time too. So we've had even more townships than 9 in the past, and they used to be. The township was who took care of your county road. So if you lived out in the county and you needed your road graded, your township chair or vice chair, they had the grader at their house typically, and they maintained the road. So you'd call them. You wouldn't call the county or a road and bridge department. You called your township chair, and they maintained the roads for you. Townships were also kind of centered around the old rural schoolhouses. So when you're out in the county and throughout Kansas, you see there's an old schoolhouse sitting there, and that's kind of also what's centered around townships, and kids, teachers used to walk to school, right. So you needed to have a rural school, and that's where that township, again, kind of maintained the roads to the school and then helped maintain the school, but that's not how Ellis County runs anymore. Right. We run on a county township system or a county road system now. We have a road and bridge department. The county department takes care of our roads and bridges, so the need for townships has kind of dwindled. But we do have some active townships, so we're consolidating from 9 down to 4. I'm aware of Buckeye Township's one that's very, very active, and they have a schoolyard or schoolhouse out there that they maintain in that township. And so to get rid of all townships and say, this is still part of government life for individuals out in the county, that you have a township, and if they have whatever they kind of want to know. And if you want to do improvements within your district, then you still have the ability to, with your neighbors to raise some funds through that mill levy. And again, take care of a building or schoolyard and those kind of things. So I'm glad that we're not, necessarily eliminating all townships, but I think, again, Bobby talked about it yesterday. There were certain townships that nobody voted for anybody. They'd have write-in names. She would call and say, well, you're the township chair, and that person would decline it.
Right.
Or they weren't raising a mill anyway. So, and the only reason they were was to, again, publish a budget that had nothing on it. But it's not, the other interesting thing about the township process is we have 105 counties, and kind of that home rule government that Kansas has, there are counties, and again, Marshall County is one that I'm aware that still uses a township system. So the 105 counties can kind of manage the way they want to. And Marshall County, the reason I know that is my younger brother's a township chair, and so the grader is parked at his house. He doesn't do the grading. He, you know, they hire somebody, and again, his neighbor will call him if his road's not quite up to snuff and have him go grade it, so that they don't have a county. They do have a county grading system, but the township is still important to them to, sure. You know, your neighbors kind of take care of your roads. So,
yeah. And you talked about the part of the issue is that there weren't people running for the positions, and because of the changes, it there's not necessarily a need for it. And so, but there are active townships. I'm curious what the process is. On Tuesday, the vote for the commission was to move forward with changing from 9 to 4, but this is a process. It's not just okay.
Right.
So there's I think there's a hearing and that will go through the clerk's office.
Yep. So we passed 5 resolutions disorganizing Catherine Township into Buckeye, Ellis Township into Buckeye, Lookout Township to Big Creek, Victoria Township to Herzog, and Wheatland Township to Freedom Township. And so that's kind of the first step at this point of recognizing what townships and where they will consolidate into. And then the next process, Bobby's going to publish those resolutions and have set a hearing for July 11th at 8:30 for any township to come to the hearing. They do have a right to file the petition. But they do need to sign by a majority of that township to essentially stop that resolution. So I'm just going to pick one out. I'm just going to say Ellis Township. If they came to that hearing with a majority of their and said we do not want to consolidate, then that resolution would be essentially vacated, and they would not consolidate into Buckeye. The other resolutions would maintain. So each township is up to them to come before that resolution. I think I'm, you know, confident the reason we've gotten to this point over the last 2 years is because we haven't heard any feedback that any of the townships that are disorganizing necessarily want to, but there is still the opportunity. That public, Bobby will have to publish that in our local papers a couple times here, right. And then that July 11th hearing, and then from there, and I'm kind of speaking off the cuff, I believe it'll be the end of the year before that actually consolidates into. So the start of January 2024 is when the process would complete.
All right, very good. So a step forward with that process this week. We want to go back and talk a little bit about, and I say back, but let's be honest, this is a big part of what you are doing right now as the county commissioner is the budget mm-hmm. process. And 2 weeks ago, the outside agencies came before the commission to present their requests and talk a little bit about what they do, kind of give the commission an update. There were 16 presenters, 22 outside agencies. And, you know, it's one of those things where you as a county commission had requested to keep the requests the same as allocated for this year in 2023. There were some, I think there were 6 agencies that requested an increase. And I know you had a comment. I was curious if you want to talk a little bit about that, just talking about, you know, there are going to be some tough decisions have to be made by the county commission.
Yes. That's why we're 6 months into it. It feels like things are going pretty fast because the budget's probably top of mind starting, you know, all year long and starting even in January and February. As new commissioner, myself and Nathan, you know, we kind of had to get up to speed quickly on the current budget that we're working in 2023 right now and expenditures and stuff. But then what are we doing for 2024? So starting about April and May, getting with Darren, that's when we started getting department budgets for 2024. County commissioners submitted kind of our thoughts on what we'd like to see. And so the first kind of that, so that's kind of the gathering part through May. And then the first process, I guess you'd say here in June, was the outside agencies coming before us. And so, I mean, I think you said 22. I forgot how many we had. 22 agencies, I believe. Last year's allocation to those agencies was about $1.1 million. This year, the request that came from pretty much all the same agencies, there's a few different ones in there, was about $1.3 million. And six agencies have an increase. There's a couple of them that had a pretty substantial increase over what they've gotten in the past. And in fairness to the budget process, I know people might, you know, valuations have gone up something like 16%. So you could kind of look at that, and some people would make that argument that, well, valuations have gone up, inflation has gone up, the amount of money to run organizations certainly is there's never a lack of need that they need. But just from our standpoint, or at least my standpoint, I don't want to speak too much for the other commissioners. My standpoint, just because valuations went up 16% doesn't necessarily equate to our budget needs to expand by 16%. In fact, there's plenty of taxpayers that would say the budget does not need to expand. That's one of the processes in our budget is we have something called revenue neutral that we have to watch if we're going to exceed revenue neutral, meaning that if our budget last year, I think it's, again, it's kind of throwing numbers out of my head, I think it was like $17.1 million. Revenue neutral by a state statute says the counties need to maintain that $17.1 million in our county. Mm-hmm. If you're going to exceed that, then you have to publish it and let the taxpayers know. Right. So that's always in the back of our mind, whether we're going to exceed that or not. And so that what that kind of boils down to is all requests. You know, again, this is going back to outside agencies. We have to be cognizant of what we're trying to do with the budget, whether we're going to exceed revenue neutral or not. I believe we will, so I'm not going to try to surprise anybody and say we're going to maintain it. I believe we will exceed revenue neutral. But when the outside agencies are coming for an increase, and I think their increase is about, I think it's 8%. That's in the back of my mind as far as how do we budget and make sure it's we meet the requests, but also meet overall taxpayers' expectations of what we're going to spend on the budget.
Right. And one of the things to take from an earlier meeting, and I know you and I believe Commissioner Nathan Nyker had also expressed some of this interest, and Commissioner Neil Younger as well, dealing with the road system at Ellis County and the need. There's already money that this commission, the previous commission, had started transferring more and more money into a special road fund. And that's something that you had earmarked as something that you believe that we really need to continue.
Yeah, there's three areas that our commission, and I think I can speak for the other two a little bit here, that we've outlined that goes back to kind of April and May as we kind of started working towards 2024 budget and what our commission believes is important. Roads and bridges is going to be top of the list, and trying to continue to allocate hopefully over $1 million into reserve, not just what we're going to improve and fix and repair out of the normal budget, but we want to make sure we build up reserves so that way we can expand on what we can do each year, but it takes a little bit of time. And so that's priority one, is to get funding into our roads and bridges and into reserves. The other priority is our noxious weed department. This is kind of getting to minutia that people are like, but we do take care of noxious weeds and those things. And we're trying to find a way to allocate more funding to that department so we can hire additional employees. We'd like to maintain our mowing out in the county. The other one is trash and trees. So those are things that we've kind of heard that, there's just trash out in the ditches out in the county. But we don't have it, just standing from our department of noxious weed, we just don't have enough employees to dedicate to going out and doing those things. But I think it does make our county better over time if we're able to go out and get trash out of the ditches, pick up and trim trees and stuff that are overgrowing and those kind of things, along with trying to mow it. So that's kind of that's probably priority two. And then priority three is rural opportunity zone. And this might be just my priority again, but I try not to speak too much for the other two commissioners, but adding funding to attract people to our county. And one of those opportunities is the Rural Opportunity Zone, which if we put some funding into it, Ellis County qualifies as a rural zone from the state of Kansas. And if we put some funding into an account, if an individual moves here from outside, especially if they're a graduate of a university or something like K-State or Wichita or Pittsburgh or something, and we can attract them to move to Ellis County, the Rural Opportunity Zone allows us to put some funding into it, get matching dollars from the state, and help those individuals typically with like student loans to offset some of their cost to attract them to come live here. So that's one, and we're kind of looking at some scholarships too for local students.
Right.
And so we'd like to maybe find a way to allocate some funds from the county to help attract people to move here. So those are our three: roads and bridges, noxious weed, and then allocating to attract people and businesses out here.
I know the budget process is an ongoing process. It takes up about, the first 8 months of the year as a county commissioner?
So, yeah, the outside agencies coming last week was kind of the first step publicly as far as seeing the budget. It is July, I think it's the 18th, when all departments will come before the commission.
Okay.
So each the sheriffs and the clerk and the appraiser and roads and bridge. That is going to be an 8-hour long meeting where the departments come with their individual budgets and the commissioners will hear what their requests are going to be. So that's part of that whole process. Again, with outside agencies wanting a little more, I could probably speak fairly freely. Departments are also probably going to be asking for a little more. And so trying to weigh that into a fair budget, not just for taxpayers, but so that way we can run our departments in the county in the way that our citizens want.
Sure. Before we let you go, you mentioned earlier as a former Hays City Commissioner, obviously what was on top of mind from a meeting that was held last night and the continued discussion of the R9 Ranch and developing the water source out of Edwards County. I know Supreme Court ruled yesterday afternoon, we found out here this morning that they'd sent it back from Supreme Court to the District Court. They want, I think, some standing issues. I think they still want the water pack down there to prove that they have standing to bring injunction to stop this from going forward. But I know that was something as a city commissioner we talked about that was definitely top of mind for you as well, even as a county commissioner.
Appreciate you bringing it up as a county commissioner. So last evening they had a public hearing at Fort Hays between Hays and Russell cities, and then on the opposite, the water pack was there. It's a public hearing to put out your testimony of support or against. As a county commissioner, I did write a letter, a 2-page letter of support. I have been in the process as a city commissioner. They've been doing this for many, many years. Right. And I've talked to former city commissioners in the 90s that, they're the ones that approved the purchase of the land. So this has been going on for a while.
Right.
But it's certainly gained traction over the last 8 years. I was on city at that point, working through it. Proud to support it now. The other two commissioners also wrote letters of support from the county. So I would encourage, there's still time, any individual, if you're a business owner, if you work at a nonprofit, or within our communities of Hays and Russell, you can inquire at the city. They're still taking letters of support until June 25th.
Okay.
They need to be compiled and sent to the courts by the 26th. But I'd encourage anybody to, write those letters of support. It makes a difference. This is a big, important subject to get water transferred from the Edwards County R9 Ranch into Hays and Russell. Growing Hays grows our county and attracts more people, attracts businesses, allows us to kind of put our own future in our own hands. So I was glad to support it, opportunity to support it, and I encourage people to kind of continue to kind of watch it and submit some letters if they'd like to.